Hello everyone. It's nice to have you back with us. For those of you who are new to our channel, it's called The Biblical Perspective. Now, as we're going along, we'd like you to either share this video, subscribe to it, and you've got a notification bell that you need to turn on so you can actually be notified when new videos are being posted. But viewers, you're in for another exciting topic, another exciting lesson. And this lesson is entitled, Comfort My People. And I'm excited to get into this lesson, Pedro. I love the book of Isaiah. It's got so many twists and turns, and it's just really intriguing how God has used this prophet to bring about so many things that he wants us to know and share. So before we go into this study, Comfort My People, I'd like you to pray for us, please.
You want me to pray?
Yes, please.
All right. Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, once more we are at your feet. Like Mary, we want the best part that will not be taken away from us. So bless us with your Holy Spirit. Guide us, open our hearts and our minds, and give us to experience your presence. We ask this for ourselves here, as well as for those who will be studying with us. In Jesus' name, and we thank you for doing it, for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, so we're on lesson 8, Comfort My People. You know, we've gone through 7 lessons, and we've seen a lot of things that have happened to these people. But God is always trying to stretch out his arm. Come, ye my people, come and be my will. I want to save you. You know, we've seen how Ahaz, when God wanted to help him, and he said, no, I'm not interested. And he turned to human elements, kings, who could not save. But yet he didn't want God to save him. Then enters his son Hezekiah. And we know that Hezekiah, he gave his heart to the Lord, and he did what was right. what was right in the sight of the Lord. But still, this topic of comfort comes into it. But before we go into the study, I want to read Isaiah 40 verses 1 to 5 so we can actually see, put it in some context of what this comfort is all about. So viewers, get your Bibles, and I'm reading from the King James Version, and we're reading from verse 1 to 5 just to put this this topic in some context. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. Warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places made plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Pedro, when I'm reading this, a lot of things are jumping out at me, but we know that it's entitled Comfort My People. So I want you to just explore what Isaiah is saying here.
Chapter 40 of the book of Isaiah is still part of the whole Isaianic narrative.
Absolutely.
We've seen that the whole narrative is mainly dealing with God trying to find a solution for his people, his people's problem. His people's problem is the sin problem.
Absolutely.
The sin problem brings rebellion. Rebellion brings devastating consequences. Some people would call this punishment.
Yeah.
As if God punishes his people.
That's right.
And we've seen that from chapter one.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that God says, look, you're going to go into captivity, and if I'm not really merciful to you,
absolutely,
only you will be like Sodom and Gomorrah, because there will be none of you
left. That's right.
But I need a remnant.
Mm-hmm.
So we see the consequences, and then we see the surrounding nations having a go at the people of God,
mm-hmm.
destroying their cities,
absolutely.
Threatening their lives, taking them captive. These are the consequences
mm-hmm.
of their own
absolutely.
Actions, which we call their sin.
Yeah.
So God is still trying to find a solution. And in this chapter here,
mm-hmm.
there is a different tone.
Yes.
To what we have
in the 1 to 39.
1 to 39. But mm-hmm. what we saw last time was the story. I mean, our last study
yeah.
was the fall of the Assyrians.
Yeah.
And we saw how God fought for his
yes,
people
he did.
And delivered his people. Now what we see in this chapter.
Yeah.
He starts by saying, comfort my people.
Comfort
my people.
Sounds like a proclamation, that does.
It is a proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, we are here back from the future.
Mm-hmm.
When the text says, for instance, tell her.
Yes.
We are in Isaiah chapter 40.
Yeah. You read in front. So tell, it says,
yeah, verse 2. It
yes.
says, you want to read that again, please?
Yes. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for her sin.
So we clearly see the idea of punishment, if you like,
mm-hmm.
the idea of evil consequences,
yeah.
and the idea of a restoration.
Absolutely.
So we are back from the future
yeah.
here.
Mm-hmm.
We know that this has not taken place.
Yes, it's a future, where, futuristic prophecy.
Because throughout the book of Isaiah, we have seen in one of our studies that the main issue that Judah, and notice in this text,
yeah.
he's not saying Judah, he's saying Jerusalem.
That's right.
There is a reason why he's saying Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Why Jerusalem? What is in Jerusalem?
Mm-hmm.
Let's think about this.
Yeah.
But on the idea of back from the future, we know that in 586,
yeah.
that's 100 and something years after Isaiah
mm-hmm.
spoke these words, eventually Jerusalem was destroyed.
Absolutely.
The temple
yeah.
was destroyed.
Yes, it was.
And then in 538,
yes.
they are back after 70 years.
That's right.
This is what Isaiah is talking about here. It hasn't taken place.
Yes, yes.
So he is back
yes.
from the future.
Mm-hmm.
He is already, God is already telling, in the same way he told Isaiah,
yeah.
that from chapter 1,
mm-hmm.
they will go into captivity.
Absolutely.
Taken by the Babylonians,
mm-hmm.
but a remnant will come back.
Yeah.
Here he is saying the same thing,
yeah.
and he's saying, you have paid double
yes.
for your sins.
Yes.
So God is showing that the problem of sin involves payment,
yes.
consequences, but also
yeah.
his mercy and his grace. And when he said there will be a remnant,
yes.
that involves taking care so much of the people
mm-hmm.
that they will experience comfort.
Yeah.
They will experience his support.
Yeah.
They will experience his love even though they have to go through
terrible times,
consequences of their own making. Action.
Yeah, it's of their own making. And that is the beauty of God. And in every single chapter from 1 to 9, even 14, it's showing the character of God. And he's saying, I did not cause you to actually sin. You've chosen that, and the consequences are this. Accept it, but in that, I'm going to comfort you and I'm going to look after you, even though you think there's no hope. He sends Isaiah to tell them there's hope in the future, so it, when they do go into captivity, they will remember the words of Isaiah.
There are a couple of things that we can add to this.
Okay.
We say that it is back from the future.
Mm-hmm.
The comforting part has not taken place.
Not
it
yet.
Will take place when they come back from captivity. Yeah. That's in 538.
Yeah.
And we're here in the 8th century still. And we're talking about their coming back in the 6th century.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
So back from the future. With the book of Isaiah, you should always be on your toes.
Yes.
Why?
Absolutely.
Because, as I said previously, Isaiah is in and out.
In and out. Yeah.
In and out of immediate reality.
Future.
Or perceived reality.
Yeah.
And ultimate reality. Mm-hmm. Reality as we see it, and reality as God sees it.
Yeah.
So right there, they have not experienced that, but for God, it's a reality that they will be back.
Yeah.
They will be comforted. Yeah. They will be saved. There will be a remnant.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole chapter 40, we can split it in two.
Yeah.
The first part, we can see from verse 1 to verse 17, God explaining how he will take care.
That's right.
Now, the second part is God describing himself in contrast to other gods who in reality don't exist. And he is saying in the first part, I am able to save. And I will save.
Mm-hmm.
In the second part, he is saying, there is nobody like me.
Mm-hmm.
There is, and this thing will remain to the end of the book of Isaiah.
Yeah.
And then in verse 8, if you want to read verse 8,
definitely.
He says something that really makes it straight what he's trying to say.
Right. The grass withereth. The flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
He is saying,
it's a forever God.
When I say to you that you will be comforted, when I say to you that you will be healed, when I say to you that you will be saved, do not doubt my word.
Faith and trust.
Because what I say will happen.
Yeah, it'll come to pass.
Now, this is a timeless message. This is a timeless message.
Because he said, I stand forever.
You see, the situation, I say again, he is in and out, in and out.
Yes, he is.
In and out of present reality or perceived reality and ultimate reality.
Yeah.
Two levels. And that's throughout the book of Isaiah.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at...
I love this book, you know.
Yeah, me too. If you look at verses 3 and 4.
Okay.
This is the guarantee that he gives. Can you read that again for me?
Oh, gosh, yes. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert, a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain.
You see,
yeah.
Comfort my people. Comfort my people.
Yeah.
When we read this,
yes,
our minds straight away goes to Matthew chapter 3,
absolutely,
verse 3,
yeah,
and the rest of it.
Yeah.
Basically, we think of John the Baptist.
Absolutely.
In and out, present, immediate,
yeah,
perceived reality,
yeah,
but also ultimate,
yeah,
future reality.
Mm-hmm.
God is saying here, my people will be back from captivity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they were brought into captivity back, to Babylon,
mm-hmm,
they would have taken a route,
yes,
that,
yes,
goes to the north,
mm-hmm,
and then down to the east, the southeast, to,
yeah,
go to Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
But when God is ready, He is saying,
mm-hmm,
I will make a highway in the wilderness so that you don't have to go all the way around to come back to Jerusalem, to come back to Zion. If you look at verse 9 in the same chapter,
yes,
you have the word Zion there.
Yes, you do.
You won't need to go back through, mm-hmm, that same way. I will make a route. I will make a road.
Yeah.
Through the wilderness,
mm-hmm,
and don't worry, don't worry. If there is a valley,
yeah,
I will take care of it.
Yeah.
If there is a mountain, I will take care of it. If the road is rough, I will take care of it.
Yeah.
I will make sure that you come back straight.
Right.
And then he adds in verse 8,
yeah,
everything will go,
yeah,
except my word.
Amen.
And this is exactly,
amen,
what we see.
Yeah.
Now, the ultimate reality,
mm-hmm,
of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we've just spoken about the historical, the immediate,
yeah,
the perceived,
mm-hmm,
reality,
mm-hmm,
the historical,
mm-hmm,
side of it. Now, the ultimate reality,
yeah,
is in Christ.
I know.
You with me?
I am very with you. It's just brilliant.
The servant of the Lord whom he's going to talk about, particularly in,
yeah,
chapter 53,
yeah,
is the one who will. Read the text again, 3 and 4.
Right. Before I read that, you know what? This is how we have to be in the will of God and understand who he is. Because he's doing this to people who have turned their backs on him for no reason but their own sin, and yet he's doing this for them. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain.
This is what the solution is about.
Yeah.
The ultimate solution. So again, two levels.
Yeah.
Immediate, perceived,
yes,
reality within the context, the historical context of his people,
yeah,
Israel, and ultimate reality within the context of salvation,
yes,
to the world,
mm-hmm,
and to individuals,
mm-hmm,
as we see in the New Testament, those same words,
yes,
being applied. Make a highway,
yeah,
to our God.
Yeah.
He will straighten the path.
Yeah.
He will, what will he do to the crooked way?
He'll make straight.
Shall be made straight. And every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain shall be brought low. Whatever
obstacle,
the condition,
yeah,
of the place,
yeah,
his salvation will find a way
and deal with it
to,
yeah,
bring his people,
yeah,
into comfort.
Mm-hmm.
This is what ultimately,
yeah,
Jesus will do.
And you know, if the thing about it is, we have a picture, but the bigger picture is God's ultimate reality.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a room now, we can see each other, this is our reality, but God knows the rest of our reality, which is always his ultimate reality, and it's that reality that we need to consider every single day.
And now, you remember, we said that we could split this chapter into two. The first part, where God gives guarantee of his capacity, his ableness to bring comfort, to save, to deliver, and the certainty that he will do it. Absolutely. When he says, the flower fadeth, and the grass withereth, but the word of the Lord stands forever. The second part, where he compares himself to idols. God doesn't need to compare himself to idols because he knows who he is, but we don't know who he is.
Absolutely.
So he brings, he lowers himself to that comparison.
And that's humi-
Are you with me?
And that's his character, the humility of him to even do that.
Why? Because his people have been idolatrous. His people, you remember this Ahaz king who went to Damascus and decided that the altar of God was no longer
sufficient for his needs.
So he needed to replace that with some altar from some god from Syria.
Of his enemies, you know.
The people of God had been dipping in every idolatrous hole that there is around them.
And even made some of their own.
So they brought God
lower
to make that comparison to say, look, I am the only God. There is no God like me. Yeah. They can't do this. They can't do that. I can do this. I can do that. Like God is selling himself to them.
Yeah. Look who I am, and you want the, what you've made with your hands. I am the one who made you with my hands. That's the ultimate reality of God.
And what he is saying is, look, you need to give me some respect. You need to give me some honor. You need to consider that I love you more than anything. I have done for you more than anybody else.
And you've seen it, and you've heard about it in the in past times.
I want to heal your condition. I want to do for you what you can't do for yourself, what nobody can do for you. Please
come on,
take this word from me.
Let us reason together
back
absolutely
to chapter one. Verse and you're right, because and let's read Isaiah chapter 1 verses 18 and 19. I was planning actually to talk about these texts. Thank you for reminding me.
And that's the Holy Spirit again, as God's ultimate reality.
Isaiah 1, 18 and 19.
Right. Come, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, I want to read that again. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Come on.
You see, some people argue that the book of Isaiah is disconnected.
It isn't.
There are two different Isaiahs. One who wrote chapter 1 to 39, and another one who was contemporary to the Babylonians, even after the captivity, who wrote chapter 40 to 66. But can you see that there is no disconnect?
There is none.
In these verses that you read, in chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, God is saying the same thing that he's saying in chapter 40 and will be saying later.
Again and again and again,
The theme is, come back to me. You have a problem that only me can solve. These things that you're dipping into, those gods that you're going after,
that's right,
those solutions that you pay so dearly for, they can't help you.
And they didn't, did they?
But you know what?
Yeah.
I can give you what you need.
Yeah.
And we will see in our future studies.
Yes, we will.
What we really need.
I'm excited about the future studies, to be honest.
I will give you what you need.
Yeah.
Why? Because I have paid for it.
Absolutely.
This message is timeless.
Before the foundation of the world, he paid for it.
Absolutely. This message is timeless.
To that as it, yes, absolutely, as we go on.
Comfort ye my people.
Yeah.
People need to know that when God says something, as he said in Isaiah 40 verse 8, the flower fadeth, the grass withereth, but the word of the Lord stands forever.
Absolutely.
This is true.
Yeah.
If God says that he can wash away your sins and make you clean,
absolutely,
he will do it.
Yeah.
If God says, come and talk to him, and let him talk to you, and let you come to an agreement, and on that premise, your life can change. He can give you the best that you can ever dream of.
Yeah.
He will do it if you listen to what he has to say. That's why, for that to happen, he takes the responsibility. Again, I will read, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, that crieth just before.
Yeah.
The pattern between this text and Matthew, the syntax,
Matthew 3:3. Yeah.
It's different. Mm. Quickly, let me say this. The voice of him that crieth, you should put a comma here.
Yes.
In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord.
Yeah.
And in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the desert, in the desert.
Yeah.
A highway for our God. This is what you call parallelism.
Yes.
The second leg of it, this is synonymous parallelism.
Yeah.
The second leg, which is in the desert.
Yeah.
In
the wilderness.
In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. That's the first leg. Make straight in the wilderness, in the desert, a highway for our God. This is the second leg.
Yes.
The second leg is shedding light on the first one.
Yeah.
So it's not like we see in Matthew. In the wilderness, the voice of the one who cries in the wilderness. Yes. No, it's the voice of the one who cries in the wilderness.
Yes.
Make a way to the Lord.
Yeah.
In the desert, make a path, or however it says.
Makes his path straight,
to the Lord.
Yeah.
So it really means God will go through whatever condition you're into.
Absolutely.
To bring this salvation to you. And he will do it with speed.
Yeah. And with love and with care. You know, I want to carry on with this, and it's and it's sad that time is against us, but you know, it's a blessing just to study this book, and it's a privilege that God has allowed us to do this in such a way.
We have a life.
Yes, we do.
Where we will go deeper.
Yes.
Into this, when at the end of the week.
Yeah.
We have the life where we can go deeper into this.
And I'm looking forward to that. So, Brother Pedro, thank you so much. This book of Isaiah, viewers, come taste and see that the Lord is good. And have a blessed week. And we'll see you again for another study with the biblical perspective. God bless you.